Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who just loves to read and loves to write. And I am so thrilled today because I have in the studio with me my goddaughter, and I am so happy to welcome Katie Price. Hi, Katie.
Hello, how are you, Patsy?
Okay, well, you know, many, many wonderful things have happened to me since I started Joy on Paper. But, you know, I talked to the poet laureate. My goodness, that's something great. And I talked to Nelson DeMille, my absolute favorite author. And it was very funny. It was supposed to be a 10-minute interview, and we talked for 55 minutes. And I didn't even do a commercial that day. You know, so I had some wonderful, wonderful things happen to me because of this program. But I think the greatest is that I met K.D. Price at my first, it was my first speech as a radio host, and I had never given a public speech. And there she was. She came in to the room, and I saw her, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I can just give my whole speech to her because she was smiling so much. I thought, okay, I can get through this speech. And I did.
Did I do all right? Wonderful job.
I did okay?
Absolutely perfect.
Okay. Well, Katie is, she is so wonderful. And she is here today to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about how last year she participated in NaNoWriMo. You know, this is the National Novel Writing Month is November. And it's so funny. I've been talking to people, and some of the people who have been on the program have participated in this. Some say NaNoWriMo, and some say NaNoWriMo. And it's like potato, potato, tomato, tomato. I don't know. How do you pronounce it?
I say NaNoWriMo.
NaNoWriMo. Okay. It seems logical to me because write, you know, doesn't
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely writing.
And so, but it's so funny. Some people who have participated in it for years, they say Remo. And so I thought, okay, I don't know. But I don't, either way, it is just a fun experience. And so we're going to be talking about that. But first, what I want to do is, you know, because we are just encouraging writers all the time, and there is a wonderful workshop that's taking place this coming Saturday, October 21st. And we have a little promo about that. So, Biget, if you'd play that, and then we'll talk about it a little bit.
Bay Area Professional Writers Guild and One Point Executive Center invite all writers and wannabe writers of all ages and skill levels to our Freedom to Write workshop, Saturday, October 21st, 8:30 a.m. till noon at the West Shore Plaza, downtown Tampa, inside next to Dick's Sporting Goods. Writers of all ages and skill levels will get professional insight from successful writers and authors on what to write and how to get started, marketing and promoting your writing, and developing a successful freelance writing career. Cost is only $25, deductible to a nonprofit 501c3 charity, including breakfast and all workshop materials, with registration details online at www.bapwg.org. Don't miss this exciting opportunity to expand your freedom to write.
This is really wonderful. I don't know. Are you going to participate in this? Do you have time this Saturday?
Well, this Saturday actually will be in Orlando at the Florida Writers Conference.
Oh, that's right. There's so many things happening. So if you're not participating in the big one in Orlando, this is a wonderful workshop. And I know that you've met many of the people in this group. And the Bay Area Professional Writers Guild, they are so supportive of writers. And every year they come out with an anthology, and they showcase authors. They are a wonderful group. They also have a meeting here in our area once a month where they invite people to talk about both the business side of writing and to be inspired. And so this workshop is really nice, and you will really enjoy it. And I hope that you will participate. And it's just the Bay Area Professional Writers Guild, and the initials are BAPWG. .org, BAPWG.org. And so I hope that some of you will participate in that. It's going to be fun. And we have here, okay, KD, there are so many things that, you know, I want to tell, first of all, I want to tell all the listeners that, of course, you are a very talented author. I was very impressed with you from the day I met you. And you, of course, started writing poetry when you were little, and you've been published as a young poet, right?
Yes, I have.
That's fantastic. And in addition to being a writer, you have a day job, right?
Yes.
a very busy day job.
A very busy day
job. You have 2 degrees.
Yes.
Tell us, what are your degrees in?
I went to Florida State University. My bachelor's degree is in geography and environmental studies, and my master's degree is in geographic information science.
Wow. And what that means is she has a lot of opportunities to work hard, because recently with the all of the hurricanes and things, you've been in demand.
Very much so.
So tell us, now, one of your jobs, of course, is you map, your day job is that you map
the distribution
the
electric
grids.
Yes,
the grids,
electric grid.
Right? Electric grids. And so you had a very interesting assignment that also at the same time inspired you. And this is what you're going to use for your NaNoWriMo.
Absolutely. Yes. This summer I got the opportunity to spend, it ended up being 10 and a half weeks in the beautiful Grand Bahama Island city of Freeport. So I got to help map the Grand Bahama Island distribution delivery electric system. And it was wonderful. I met wonderful people with very interesting names. And the landscape, obviously, is absolutely gorgeous. The beaches, the sparkling water, the clean air, all the beautiful little birds and flowers. So I felt very inspired. So when I thought about this year's NaNoWriMo, first place I thought of was the Bahamas.
Wow. Well, now, last year was your first year that you did NaNoWriMo,
yes.
And you're wearing your shirt because you are a winner. Beautiful. It's beautiful. And so when you decided, first of all, why did you decide last year to do it? And what did you discover from that first year's experience that you can share with the people who are thinking of doing it?
Right. So one of my biggest motivations for doing NaNoWriMo last year was you and this program. I really didn't know much about it. I heard it here and I said, you know what, let me look this up. And I said, I think I can do it. So, you know, writing that 1,667 words a day, I'd never done anything like it. And I think NaNoWriMo, the biggest thing about it is just the motivation. So knowing that there's an entire community of writers dedicated to writing those daily word counts.
And because you need a total word count of
50,000 words.
In 30 days.
And so I just because of the community that we have here in the Tampa Bay area, in the larger NaNoWriMo community in the world, I knew that I could do it, and I did.
Wow. And your book is something that you finished that book, and now you're working on making changes.
Yes,
and
I'm in the editing process on that book so that I can get it to agents and submit it in contests. And so, you know, NaNoWriMo is really just the beginning. It's about getting that good first draft onto the screen. So,
and really, it does motivate you when you know that you have a deadline. And, whoa, and once you're committed to that and realize, yeah, I can do it.
I can do it.
Now, when you started, had you prepared?
No, because
so you just started November 1st?
Yes.
November 1st, she sits down and she says, I'm going to start writing. But
I had about a couple days to figure out what I was going to write. And it was good for me. I feel like sometimes having a scientific degree, sometimes I can overthink things. And NaNoWriMo kind of forces you from being, if you're more of a planner, kind of forces you to be more of a pantser. So I made an outline. I have to have an outline. And just working with that outline, knowing kind of where the story was going, but just giving myself that room to let the creativity flow.
And now, as you said, we have people in the local area who participated. Did you participate last year in any of the little groups that they have?
No, I woke up, wrote some, went to work, wrote some more during my lunch break, came home and wrote some more. So I didn't have a lot of time to meet up. I knew they were meeting up. I knew where they were meeting up. I emailed my friends in the Florida Writers Association. We kept each other encouraged through social media, but I pretty much did not see the light of day other than going to work.
And it is for anyone who wants to participate, you can go to NaNoWriMo.org and all the instructions are there, what you have to do, and also the links to all of these little events. They have little events, and they also have, did you listen to some of the
Oh, yes, they have the videos. Podcasts.
Yes.
They have live YouTube events.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. And I've been prepping this year, listening to some of those from last year. Really just gets you excited. And get on social media. Tell people you're going to do it. Go on to NaNoWriMo.org. Declare your novel. It's something about declaring it to the world that makes you realize, I'm really going to do this.
Yeah, it is. It's real. I'm a real writer, and I can really sit down and do it. And so I think that's a wonderful thing. NaNoWriMo is, this is their 19th year. And last year they had almost 400,000 participants. And this year I know they're going to have over 400,000.
Absolutely.
Because it's growing every year.
It's a worldwide phenomenon.
It is. And I think it's also a wonderful thing that it makes you connected to the greater writers community. And I have a feeling that now you can go all over the world, wherever you travel, and you can probably meet somebody who's participating.
Go on vacation, take your NaNoWriMo winner shirt with you, and don't be afraid to talk to other writers.
Exactly. Wear your T-shirt proudly, and somebody will come up to you and say, I did it. Because it's funny, I was looking at some of the people who have participated. And in India, they have a lot of people there who are participating in NaNoWriMo.
It's very big there.
It's very big in India. And that's partly it's because this is a wonderful thing about India. And this is for all of you writers. If you can write a book that appeals to people who are in India. Now, one of the writers whose books appeal to people in India is Robin Cook. Now, Robin Cook has sold almost 1 billion books now. I mean,
wow.
he's approaching 1 billion books. I mean,
that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. But one of the reasons is that in India, of course, Robin Cook's books are all medical based. He was a doctor, and his are all with sort of medical mysteries. And of course, in India, there are a lot of doctors, and they all study in English, and so. India has 1 billion people. 100 million of them read primarily in English.
That's amazing.
That's what they prefer to read in. They read newspapers in English. They read the internet in English. They love to do, because they're bilingual and trilingual. They're amazing.
They're
linguists. It's unbelievable how so many Indians, I know quite a few who they speak like 4 or 5 dialects of different Indian languages, and then, of course, they speak English perfectly. Mm-hmm. And actually, when I say perfectly,
with a
really perfect, with a British accent, and so it's amazing. They love to read, and so if you can write a book that gets published in India in English, you have a winner. So
we're very lucky here in the States to have English as our primary language, because the British definitely got around being a geography major. I like to study different countries, and the same thing in a lot of countries in Africa have English, if not a first, they have it as a second language.
Definitely.
Most people there speak 3, 4, 5 languages, and those are a lot of readers. You have to think about it that way. Don't limit yourself to just your state or your city.
Exactly. And I think, the book that you wrote last year is science fiction. And I think it's going to have a wide appeal.
There are people, so the book that I wrote before NaNoWriMo, I put on Wattpad, which I also learned about from you, and there were people in India reading it. The Wattpad, they will show you where your readers are, and it amazed me how many people in India were reading my book. It was so exciting.
It is. It's a thrilling, just first, as I always say, it is such a joy to get the words on paper, and then to actually know that people are reading them, and eventually to get an audible book and to know people are listening to it. It's exciting, isn't it?
Very much so.
So I am so thrilled always when I hear somebody, wanting to really get themselves out there and make this effort. And in a little while, I'm going to be running an interview that I taped, actually, because today is October 19th, and October 19th is the kickoff of the world's largest shared reading experience for kids and their families. It's Jumpstart's Read for the Record. And this is a wonderful event that they've been running now for about 15 years, I think. And it is an event where they encourage families and schools and libraries to everyone to get together to read one particular book on one day. And so to imagine all of these people reading one book. And we're going to be talking to the author of this book, who is a very happy, happy person right now because she was selected. And only one book was selected each year. So if you're selected, it's wonderful. So, you know, again, when you finished your book last year, you won. And this year now, as you said, you've looked for new inspiration for a new book.
Yes.
And wow, I think that it's going to be so exciting. But this time you are prepared a little bit more.
Yes, I'm more prepared. Yeah. I will, as a geographer, I must draw a map. This year's
I
novel
love books
will
with
be
maps,
a,
by the way.
It will be a fantasy novel. So you can't have a fantasy novel without a map, a family tree, and
I love that.
A lot of characters.
I love that. I don't know. It's ever since, you know, Treasure Island. If there's a book with a map, I'm instantly drawn to it. I love it. And sometimes they'll have it on the inner, you know, inside on the cover. And they'll have all the little drawings. And I love maps.
So do I. I absolutely adore them. I like them on T-shirts and tablecloths and wherever I can get a map. So I will thoroughly enjoy drawing the map for this book.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to take a little commercial break, okay, Ed? In the control room, Big Ed is in the control room. And then we're going to come back with the interview with Liz Wong, okay?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Support Joy on Paper and local authors. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code PATSY. P-A-T-Z-I.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with a very special guest. I love children's books, and I'm always so happy to promote children's reading because I was a reader at a very young age, and so this is such an important subject to me, and I am so happy to welcome to the program Liz Wong. Hi, Liz.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is exciting. I know that for the rest of your life, October 19th is going to be a red letter day. This is amazing what you have accomplished. You have been chosen, your book, Quackers, which is absolutely delightful, was chosen to be Jumpstart's Read for the Record book for October 19th. Amazing.
Yes, truly amazing.
It is a delightful book. We have to tell people. First of all, Quackers, of course, is an illustrated book, children's illustrated book that you've illustrated. It is, the drawings are just delightful.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, how did this happen? How did you get selected? What was the process?
You know, I don't know how they select the books, but my editor told me that they had chosen my book to be the Read for the Record book this year. And before I found out, I didn't really know anything about Jumpstart and Read for the Record. I happened to be in New York for a conference for the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. So we went out to lunch, and she gave me the news. And then I went back to my hotel room and looked up information about Read for the Record and was just astounded to find out so many people.
They are an amazing organization, and they've been doing this since 2006. And it's a 24-hour hour celebration of reading. And I know that they've had, I think, 17 million participants already. And I'm sure that this year they're going to have even more because we are all promoting it because it is such a wonderful event and so important. As I said, I was reading, well, at a very young age. And, of course, my boys were also reading at a very young age. And it is wonderful how an author who writes a great children's book can inspire children to read forever.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really wonderful opportunity to be involved with this organization and what they're doing. They really focused on making sure that preschool children enter kindergarten ready to read, and it's such a noble mission to be involved with.
It is. Now, this book, of course, as I said, it's delightful and beautifully published. The entire book is just lovely to hold, and your illustrations are so beautiful, very soft, and I think the children will just enjoy getting into this story about Quackers. So tell us about it, because it is funny too.
Thank you. So Quackers is a story of a cat who thinks he's a duck because he lives at the duck pond with all the other ducks, but he doesn't quite fit in because he is in fact a cat.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't realize that until he meets another cat. And then he has a little mini identity crisis and eventually figures out his place in the world.
Well, this book is charming. It's delightful. What gave you the idea for it?
I had the idea because one day I drew a picture of a cat and I thought it would be really funny if the text said that it was a duck. Because I love those picture books where the words and the pictures contradict each other. And from there, I had to come up with a story about Quackers and his journey. And I started to think about times in my life where I felt different and I didn't fit in, and how I came to understand my place in the world. So it started out really with an illustration, and the message kind of worked itself in there along the way. So I didn't start out intending to write a book with this message of kindness and tolerance.
Well, tell us, how did you, when did you start writing? I have a feeling you've been drawing since you were a little girl.
Yes, that is 100% correct. I have been drawing since I was a kid. I think you talk to a lot of illustrators and we all say, oh, well, I always loved to draw when I was a kid. And by the time I was in first grade, I decided I was going to be an artist. And I've always loved books. I grew up in a book-loving household, and we spent a lot of time at bookstores and libraries. But I didn't really think about writing or about children's books as a career until I was out of college. I did go to college for art, but eventually stumbled upon a children's illustration class. And that's when it kind of clicked for me, realizing, oh, wow, well, I love children's books, and I'd love to draw, and this would be a great career for me. I really wanted to be an illustrator, but along the way, I started to have story ideas. And so I had this idea about 9 years ago, and then it took me about 6 years to figure out how to write a children's book and get it published.
Well, you've done an amazing job. That it's your first picture book and that it gets selected. It's one of those wonderful things that happens in life when you say, wow, anything can happen. Isn't it fantastic?
It truly is. Yeah, it's been a little bit of a Cinderella story for Quackers, where he's kind of plucked out of obscurity and celebrated. And I'm constantly sort of in disbelief that this is happening to me.
Well, so what are you doing as part of this celebration?
Well, I am on October 19th doing a story time in the morning and at a library in Seattle. Then I will do a classroom visit with one of the Jumpstart partner preschools in the afternoon. And then in the evening, I will be doing a reading at University Bookstore in Seattle. So I have a action-packed day.
Well, you know, I just, as I said, I love children's books. Now, you have a child?
I do. I have a 9-year-old.
Okay.
So, yeah, I had the idea when he was born, but I didn't get around to writing it for several years after that.
Well, there is a learning process in it. And did you take classes in writing children's books, or did you attend any workshops or seminars?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been involved with the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators for some time when I first took my first children's illustration class. And so I've done a lot of, gone to a lot of their conferences and learned a lot from all of their meetings and conferences. I did some children's illustration classes, and through those classes, we also worked on making our own stories as well. So I've kind of learned to write along the way through classes and workshops, and also just by reading a ton of children's books to my son.
Now, is this, I'm sure that you're already working on your second, third, and probably quite a few others, right?
Yeah, I'm currently working on my second book, which should come out in spring 2019, provided that I make the deadline. And I'm at the point where I'm working on the art for the book. So we've gone back and forth several times on the story and kind of hammered it out, and now I have to create all the final art.
Well, this is, as I said, so exciting. Now, did you find an agent? How did you, with children's books, it's a little bit different from, you know, thrillers and mysteries. So how did you go about finding an agent to get this published?
Well, I do have an agent, and I got really lucky. I went to one of our local conferences for the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, and we had from Simon & Schuster, who came to our conference, and I had a 10-minute consultation with her. And we kind of kept in contact through Twitter after that, and we talked about doing a book together, which didn't pan out. But along the way, she introduced me to one of her colleagues, who is the Simon & Schuster editor, who is leaving to become an agent. And then the agent called me up and said, I'd like to represent you. So it was really a combination of luck and timing and a lot of work on my portfolio that ended up finally getting me an agent.
Well, I think you have a very, very happy agent, because when a book is picked up for something as important as this event, and it is important when you think, I'm not sure how many millions of readers are going to have this year, but I know they will have tons of them. Many millions, of course, many millions of books sold. And this is a story that will be carried in libraries all over the country. It must make you so excited just to think, I can walk in a library and I'm pretty sure my book is going to be there.
Yeah, it's been a great boon and a great experience. And, you know, this book is going to reach so many more people than I ever thought it would. It really is an amazing opportunity and an amazing organization to be involved with.
Well, and of course, I think why it is such a winner is that you do have this
this theme that people can be different, but we're all the same, you know, in the end. And we just have to learn how to appreciate who we are. And so that was, I think, when you originally came out with the concept, did you realize what a sort of a big theme you were having here?
You know, I really set out to make a funny, silly picture book, but I did think a lot about my own experiences when I was writing it and not fitting in anywhere and how I kind of came to terms with my identity. But what I didn't realize is once the book was out, how readers would respond to it and the way that kids have seen themselves in the book in many various different ways. All the possible ways that a kid can be different, they have picked up on it. And that's really been such a great joy to me that they found meaning in the book that I didn't even know was there. And they've really made this book into something greater than what I wrote.
Well, it's probably reflects something great in you. That's why it works. It wouldn't work if it wasn't something that was innate in you, a feeling of wanting people to find that specialness in them.
Yeah, well, what I'm realizing is that we all feel different in our own way, and everybody can kind of identify with those feelings of trying to fit in and trying to find your place in the world.
Well, I think Jumpstart has done a fantastic, fantastic job in picking you for the Read for the Record program this year. Your book, I have a feeling, will be one. You know, there are children's books that last for generations, and I have a feeling that your book is one of those because, in addition to the theme, the illustrations are lovely. Now, do you normally work in what's your favorite medium? Do you like watercolors, ink? What do you like to work in?
I do a combination of watercolor and digital. So I usually do little bits that are watercolor, and then I'll scan them in and assemble them digitally. Kind of takes the pressure off of having to make a whole complete watercolor painting that looks good. So I can make a lot of little tiny pieces of paper and put them all together.
Well, that sounds like fun. Now, of course, as I said, you know, this program, I have many, many listeners who are working on children's books, and I want to encourage them all. You know, you just have to keep trying, and what you did by joining this association what is the full name of it?
The Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, SCBWI.
Okay, well, I suggest to all of you listeners out there who are working on children's books, sometimes they think people who are just starting off, they'll think that they can't join a society like that until they have a published book. But that's not true. They can join now and meet like-minded people who can help them, you know, move their talent ahead, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would not be published if it was not for SCBWI. And it is a wonderful group of very, very supportive writers and illustrators. You know, children's book people are really the nicest people on earth. And we're all kind of working towards the same goals and all learning along the way. So definitely join SCBWI.
Okay. Well, that's a great, great way to promote them, because with this book, it shows that they did something right in encouraging you to, you know, use your talents to come out with an absolutely delightful book. And now your son is happy that a book that probably was inspired when he was a baby is now a bestseller?
Yeah, I think he's getting a little tired of getting dragged to book events. But otherwise, he's very proud of me.
Well, I think it's absolutely fantastic. And I want to just tell everyone again, the name of the book, of course, is Quackers, and I love the name, and the author is Liz Wong, and it is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and wherever books are sold. And do you have a website that you want people to visit?
I do have a website. It's LizLongIllustration.com. And then people can also visit the Read for the Record website, which is readfortherecord.org or jstart.org for Jumpstart.
Okay. Well, I will encourage, I've already been encouraging everyone and to participate in this event because it is really wonderful. And it is so important that our children start reading at a young age. And just, I'm sure you were reading at a young age, right?
Oh, yeah.
What was your favorite? What was your favorite book as a child?
Oh, gosh. You know, I really love Diana Wynne Jones and all of her books. One of her books in particular, Charmed Life, was one of my favorites. I always loved those books where there was sort of a secret fantasy world hidden behind this one. The idea that there were multiple worlds and magic right around the corner.
Well, I think you have found magic with Quackers, and I want to thank you so much for joining me today. And I expect you back here as soon as the second book is ready to go, okay?
Sounds like a date.
Okay. Okay. Have fun this year because it is a fun process to be able to write a book and to illustrate it. But it's, you know, that's what the wonderful thing about children book authors who also illustrate. They have double the joy.
Oh, yeah. It's really fun. It can be challenging sometimes, but it's really nice to have that flexibility to go back and forth between the words and pictures and be able to do both.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Liz, for being on Joy on Paper today. It was a joy to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Well, it was fun to talk to Liz, and I'm here in the studio with my goddaughter, who I have just presented her with the book Quackers. And KD Price is my goddaughter, and she participated last year in NaNoWriMo and was a winner, and she's wearing the T-shirt to prove it, and she's going to win again this year. And I'm so happy that... What do you think of Quackers?
Oh, that is a wonderful book. I look forward to reading it to the children I volunteer with at the RCS Grace House here in Clearwater. I think they're really going to enjoy it.
Well, that's why I wanted to give it to you, because I know that KD, besides working so hard with her day job, she's also writing all the time whenever she has a moment. But you are also a wonderful volunteer. You do so much good work. And tell us a little bit about where you volunteer at Grace House.
The Grace House is run by Religious Community Services. It's Christian, Jewish, and Hindu temples, churches that come together.
All-inclusive.
All-inclusive. And they come together and help support the community here in Clearwater. And the RCS Grace House does a great service by allowing families to come in, families with children, to come in and stay there. For a set amount of time, normally 8 weeks, and they help the families get back on their feet, help them find jobs and housing. They feed them, give them supplies, and every Wednesday for 1 hour, I get to help take care of the children while their parents are learning important life skills to help them be self-sustaining in the future.
Well, I know that you are an amazing... Kate is just... You know... When I first saw Katie, she walked. I was at the front of the in the big auditorium at the library in St. Petersburg, and it's a big room. And I'm right at the front, getting ready to make my speech. And I'm very nervous and I'm very anxious about I actually hadn't even written anything because I didn't know what I was going to do. And when she walked in the door, and I saw this big smile and this joy. I mean, when I'm talking about a pro writing, you know, I named my program Joy on Paper. Well, I saw joy on her face, and I was really not surprised to discover that she is such a wonderful and giving person. And so I'm so happy that you're going to read Quackers to everybody. And the nice thing about this Jumpstart program, they really want to encourage children to read, and they also would love if you would go onto their website, which is jsstart.org, and report the number of children that are involved in reading the book.
Oh, that's great.
So they have a little report your numbers right there on their website. And all you have to do is go there. And they would just love if you would take pictures of reading with the children, perhaps the children holding the book, put it up on Twitter, on their Facebook. And again, this just encourages more people to participate in this event every year. And the children get so excited because if you take their picture, you know, you have a group picture or individual picture, put it there on Twitter and Facebook, and they can see and they can share in that, you know, joy of being involved in reading.
Right. And it'll go viral.
Exactly. It'll go viral. And that's so it's jsstart.org. And they have a report your number button. Just go in there, report your number. And I'm sure they know that they're going to have over 2 million this year.
That's wonderful.
Which is wonderful. Just wonderful. And so you read it to everybody. And so all of you people out there, it's not too late to participate today. And of course, you can participate other days. But you can go to Barnes & Noble. They have the book in stock. And you can get it there and then read to as many kids as you can and send in your photos and sign up with your numbers.
Sounds like a plan.
It is. It is. So now, talking about plans, first of all, let's talk a little bit about what are your plans this weekend? What are you doing?
So the Florida Writers Association is having their big conference, always exciting, and they are publishing their ninth short story anthology, which I will be in.
Oh, yes. That exciting.
So a short story that I wrote after NaNoWriMo last year with that NaNoWriMo juice still flowing through me is published now in their short story anthology. So I can't wait to hand you your very own copy and tell you thank you.
Oh, I'm thrilled about this. And this is one of the wonderful things. You know, when you become a writer, whether it's a short story or a novel or, you know, maybe a script someday, it is so exciting to see your words on paper, isn't it?
It is. I can't wait to hold it and smell it. I'm probably going to kiss it.
I'm sure. And so that event takes place this weekend, and there are lots of wonderful things that happen at these events.
Oh, so many wonderful things. There are a lot of speeches, classes, workshops. Some of the speakers that come are already famous. They're local writers there. They're the banquet. I mean, who doesn't love a banquet?
Yeah.
So the energy is so high, and it takes you right into NaNoWriMo. A lot of the workshops are on planning, a lot on query writing. So it really takes you through the whole process, soup to nuts, what you need to do to get started, write that first draft, and then into the editing, the rewriting, where the real magic happens.
Exactly. Well, talking about query letters, I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that November is also an exciting month because every year for 8 years now, this is the 8th annual YA Discovery Contest that is put on by Regina Brooks' wonderful agency, Serendipity. Now, Regina she was a guest the other week, and she is an amazing woman who, you know, in really a relatively short period of time, she has taken her agency into the highest ranks in New York City, and that says a lot. And so she loves writing, she loves reading, and she wanted to help people get into see an agent sometimes when they don't have a query letter. It is funny. You know, writers know that they have to do query letters, right?
Yes.
Yes. And I know many writers who feel that the query letter is just like, they'd rather write the novel.
Absolutely. Sometimes just taking all those words and condensing them down into a single page is going to grab an agent's attention right away and make them love you. It's a lot of pressure.
It is. And, you know, you know, when you write a query letter, your whole sort of heart stops almost because you're thinking to yourself, that one letter, it could make me or break me. we hope it doesn't break you, because I can tell you most of the famous writers who have been on this program, they have had so many of their query letters rejected. And many of them wish that they had saved them and actually made wallpaper out of them. Because nowadays, it's not as much fun to get a rejection.
No.
Because it's on email. And in the old days, you used to get a rejection from an agency with a really beautiful letterhead. And it was nice. But you don't get those today. So you have to usually write a query letter. But Regina Brooks, thinking about that, decided that she would let people just go directly to her contest. And so her sort of theme is no query, no pitch, no problem. And get in front of top YA editors and take part in this 8th annual Discovery Contest. And it's such a wonderful opportunity. And I can't think of any reason. If you have a young adult book that you think might appeal to her, I would jump into this right away. The entry fee is $25. It's nothing, and all of the entries are read by top agents within her organization and other people that she works with. So you will. You know, it's just a wonderful opportunity to sort of cut right through it and get to the people who make decisions.
I'm definitely doing it.
You're definitely. Good. Do it. And because, first of all, when you win the grand prize, you get to actually work one-on-one with Regina, and she will do a very detailed, you know, an analysis of the work. And of course, it opens doors. Just being able to be in contact with a top New York literary agent, as I said always to Irene Goodman, who was my first guest and is a top literary agent in New York City, you are worth your weight in gold, and that is true. Now, I don't know exactly how Liz Wong's book was chosen to be this year's Jumpstarts book, but I would think that her agent is like one of the happiest people in the world at the moment, because when you sell with the book came out in March and now it's October 19th and there are at least 2 million books out there.
Amazing.
Isn't it amazing?
It is. Every writer's dream.
It is. And so this is one of the magic things about being a writer. You don't know where it can lead you. You might write a book, and it might take a while before you get it published. And then you get it published, and you never know. Maybe somebody will pick it up for a movie, right?
Oh, that's the dream.
That's the dream. Or a publishing house will say, well, that was so good. We want you to turn it into a series, which is why sometimes it's really good to leave the cliffhanger at the end, because you don't know. It's funny. Some authors have come to me and said, you know, I'm sorry I ended the book the way I did, because I really could have left it open and perhaps gotten a series out of it. So
that's great advice.
Yeah.
Series are very popular these days.
Well, the nice thing about series, you know, a standalone book is great. And if you can get it done and it's that's it. But the problem is it's forgotten usually after a while. It's very difficult for a standalone book to get new publicity. And so a perfectly wonderful book, one where you get a few months of good publicity and it sells for those few months, it's great. But if there's no publicity after that, the book is there. It stays on Amazon. It might be in the bookstores, but so it is a wonderful idea to think about doing a series, because then, you get more publicity. And of course, in my case, I invite people on even if their book has been out of print, out of circulation for years, because I like to bring books back, which is one of the things that's fun about doing this program.
Yes, and you do it well.
Oh, thank you. You know, I can't believe the whole hour's just gone. I'm almost, I saw Big Ed in there, and he's about ready to salute me and say, "Woo, this hour's just gone." So any other advice for people who want to do NaNoWriMo?
Believe in yourself. Start thinking about what you want to do. Start writing your notes. Do some word sprints. Get your snacks ready. You're going to need your snacks. Get your caffeine if you have a Keurig or if you have a cafetera, whatever you use to get your caffeine in, tea. Get it stocked up and ready because
you need to do how many words a day?
1,667 words a day.
Wow. Okay. It's doable.
It's doable.
And we have the proof here because we KD won last year. She's going to win again this year. And you can win too. And I love it. I love this. Anyone who embraces this joy on paper. And speaking of joy, I want to tell everyone to get the Book of Joy. I had Doug Abrams on the other day, and he was talking, of course, about his book, which is called, it's not just his book because he's a co-author, along with the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. I mean, that's nice when you're a co-author with those two guys. I mean,
oh, yes.
Not bad at all. And it is a wonderful book, and it is called The Book of Joy. And I was so happy to have Doug on the program, and I'm going to have him back because he is so busy at this moment talking all over the country. They're promoting this book because we hope that the Book of Joy might open some hearts and minds to the fact that it would be so wonderful if we could have really peace on earth finally. So the Book of Joy is a wonderful way for you to it's going to be a wonderful way to give a Christmas present.
Absolutely, right into the holiday season.
Right into the holiday season. And perfect for Christmas and Hanukkah and any other holiday that you celebrate. Also Thanksgiving. I think, people don't normally give books on Thanksgiving, but the Book of Joy is a perfect book to share with family.
Absolutely.
On Thanksgiving. And maybe that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a little promotion for that. On Thanksgiving, it should be the Book of Joy.
What more to be grateful for than joy in your life?
Exactly. And if the Archbishop Tutu and the Dalai Lama, who have suffered themselves so much and have seen so much suffering, can still find joy in life.
We can all do it.
So, KD, you have a website. It's called kdprice.com. People can go there and see about your writing,
yes.
And you're going to keep some information going?
Yes, keep us updated on what's going on in the writing community here in Clearwater in Tampa.
Okay, and we're going to have Katie back to talk about what she did in November. I think it's going to be an exciting month.
Epic.
Okay, and I want to thank Big Ed in the control room. Remember, everybody, find your joy and share it. And say something nice to somebody. I say something nice to Big Ed. He salutes me. I love when he salutes me.
I get to do it too today.
And Katie's saluting him too. Okay, great. Okay, have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye now.